My guest at this time is Pete Sepp. He is the Executive Vice President at the National Taxpayers Union. You can find them at ntu.org. We want to get his thoughts on the budget blueprint offered by the Obama administration on Tuesday to the tune of nearly $4 trillion for fiscal year 2015. Republicans are pretty much scoffing at it, as expected. Pete, thanks so much for being with us.
Always a pleasure.
Well, the statements coming from the White House and the statements coming from Republicans, like I said, are pretty much what we expect. But the statement from the president is, our budget is about choices. It's about our values. It calls for more spending on infrastructure, more targeted tax credits for job creation. It also calls for more spending, and it pays for it by closing what they call loopholes for the rich. Paul Ryan, the House budget chairman, says this budget isn't a serious document. It's a campaign brochure. So who's closer to being right here?
Well, it is hard to call this a serious document if you are indeed serious about reducing the deficit through spending restraint. The message here is more spending and much higher revenues to pay for that spending, along with a lot of rosy economic assumptions. You know, the other problem with this budget is from a managerial technical standpoint. Even though it's once again late, it is also for the first time incomplete for this administration. There are two key documents in the whole set of budget items that are missing so far. These are the analytical perspectives and the historical tables of the budget. Without those, you can't necessarily understand the assumptions for things like projections of beneficiary populations, for the changes in entitlements that they're proposing. So for an administration that prides itself on transparency, this is just basic managerial negligence.
Pete, in addition to the missing documents, you just said there were several rosy assumptions offered in this budget. What did you mean by that? What are some of those assumptions?
The assumptions for inflation, that it will be lower than what the Congressional Budget Office just projected, that entitlement payments will be lower than what the Congressional Budget Office projected, and that gross domestic product will be a whole lot higher. And the differences here add up to a lot over the 10-year budget window. It explains why the Congressional Budget Office just last month was projecting a budget deficit of over $1 trillion 10 years from now. The Obama administration is projecting one less than half that amount. And so be careful what you assume, because when you do, you can come out with all kinds of rosy scenarios. And boy, this budget is sure doing that.
As I mentioned, and you mentioned as well, that increased revenues are a part of paying for the increased spending that's proposed here. So that means higher taxes, the administration says, on the wealthy. They say they're going to do that by closing some of the loopholes on the rich. So pull out your dictionary for us. What do they mean by rich? What do they mean by loopholes?
Well, by loopholes, they mean things like imposing the so-called Buffett rule on wealthy taxpayers. That's been a staple of Obama's budgets year after year. They want to propose a shift in rules regarding what's called carried interest income. That has a great deal of controversy over how it would impact risk-taking fund managers and their investors. They also want to take a serious bite out of the value of itemized deductions, limiting them to what somebody in the 28% as opposed to the 39.6% tax bracket would take. We have to bear in mind, though, this is not occurring in a vacuum. All of these higher rates, higher loophole closures, and higher effective tax burdens are occurring just after Congress and the President agreed in 2013 to raise taxes on the rich as well. There was a rate increase. Also, some of the Obamacare surtaxes took effect. So basically, he wants to squeeze more and more money out of fewer people with dwindling pockets.
We're talking with Pete Sepp. He's the Executive Vice President of the National Taxpayers Union. In our remaining few minutes here, Pete, let's talk a little bit about deficits. The president has said repeatedly over the past several months that in the current fiscal year, there is the deficit is halved compared to what it was when he took office. Republicans beg to differ with that, saying that he's the first one to be anywhere close to $1 trillion deficits. Who's right?
Well, they're both right in that the Obama administration did preside over a string of trillion-dollar deficits. If its policies continue the way things are, and we are to believe more of the Congressional Budget Office's estimates, way down the line when Obama's out of office, we will see trillion-dollar deficits again. Now, the Republicans are right in that he's not necessarily giving credit to the reason why budget deficits have been reduced to in the $500-600 billion range. That is largely because of caps on federal spending that were agreed to in the Budget Control Act of 2011. Problem there, Congress and the president have just set aside those budget caps, and the president's latest proposal wants to do away with them altogether when they're supposed to return in the year 2015. So we have a real problem down the line, and the bottom line is this. For all the deficit reduction that the Obama administration's budget is proposing, on average, there would be $5 of higher revenue for every dollar of spending cuts. That is not a balanced approach to deficit reduction.
But to clarify his point, did he or did he not inherit a trillion-dollar deficit, as he repeatedly claims?
Inherit a trillion-dollar deficit? That's a little bit fishy. I think that he certainly inherited large deficits, structural ones as a result of some Bush administration policies, but no, not a string of multi-trillion-dollar deficits. A lot of that has to do with spending policies and unwise tax increase proposals, some of which became law, others didn't, but all of them tended to exert a lot of pessimism on the chances of an economic recovery.
Let's briefly talk about the Republicans here. I don't think that they've come out with their budget proposal yet, and I'm guessing over recent years you find their version more fiscally responsible than what the president has offered. But in terms of addressing the size of the debt and spending issues that we have right now, how credible, how serious have the Republican efforts been in the last few years?
Yeah, there actually have been some problems with Republican budgets in the past. If we were to grade them, many of them might wind up in the B-, even the C range, because many of them fail to address the primary drivers of cost growth, which is Social Security and Medicare in the federal budget. They've done some work on voucherization of Medicare and things like premium support. That's encouraging. But reforming Social Security remains something that neither political party seems to want to touch. And of course, Republicans have not been forthright about the need to restrain military expenditures in the past. And that is an important task that both parties have to undertake.
Pete, we'll leave it there. As always, sir, we appreciate your insight.
Thanks for having me.
You bet. Peter Sepp is the Executive Vice President at the National Taxpayers Union. For more information on their work, go to ntu.org. I'm Greg Corumbus reporting for Radio America.